good morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in May, where today, inside our church building on Old Alabama Road, we are recognizing, honoring, and celebrating mothers. And by that, I mean mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts, big sisters, neighbors, volunteers who have and do serve a mothering role in our lives and in the lives of our children. We're celebrating all the women who nurture, influence, give, and make our world a better place. And that means to our TNC family here as well, to every woman listening who is and has built into another human being, happy Mother's Day, and thank you. You have our love and prayers and our deep gratitude. And now, I want to shift gears and introduce the new series we're starting today, a series called Enter Here, like the street sign that points you in the right direction. Enter here! Because sometimes humans get lost or find ourselves heading the wrong way, entering the wrong kinds of thinking and living. I read recently about a man named Phil who was driving home from work when his wife called him on his cell phone. "Phil," she said with urgency, "please be careful. I just heard that some lunatic is driving the wrong way on Route 80. "It's worse than that, Doris," Phil replied. "You won't believe it. It's not just one car. It's hundreds of them." Because sometimes we get it wrong. We go down wrong roads and we end up in places we don't want to be. And so we're going to think together for a few weeks now about how you and I can increasingly travel down roads that lead us to places and relationships where we discover I'm at my best, my truest, my most authentic self. I feel like I'm becoming the kind of person, physically, mentally, and spiritually, that I was made by God to be. And I want to start this series now with the words of Jesus, recorded in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14, where he uses a two-word phrase to describe this road that we are invited to enter and travel on. He's in the middle of a teaching about life in the kingdom of God, about how folks can enter here, enter into it, and discover that they are experiencing the, hey, I'm the person I want to be, doing the things I was made to do kind of life. And in the middle of this teaching, he says this, actually a very troubling sentence for many people. Enter through the narrow gate. Enter here, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And the reason this is troubling for some is that these words are often misread and interpreted as talking about how to get into heaven after you die, something that's hard, narrow, and that only a few people will experience. When I was growing up, I actually saw a drawing depicting this teaching. I still remember it. It was of a broad, smooth, paved, no potholes road leading to nowhere, except people along the way were falling off the road left and right, a metaphor for death, and falling into a fiery underworld of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, a picture of life after one dies if they choose the broad, easy road. And then, it was the same drawing, there was a second road, a narrow way, uphill over treacherous terrain, and if one fell off, and some did, they'd end up in the same fire. But if they successfully navigated this narrow way, they would eventually get to the top of the drawing and enter the golden gates and heaven after they died. Which is exactly not what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7 about the narrow way. This sentence, enter through the narrow gate, is from the Sermon on the Mount, all about how to experience life now with Jesus, about how humans can become who they were created to be now. And in this section of the sermon, Jesus is saying that if you want to experience this life, you can, but it will involve a kind of choice. To navigate onto a more narrow road, a less traveled road, with new rules for the road, so to speak, new routines and new ways of thinking. The Apostle Paul actually talks about this as taking on a new mindset in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4. He says, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, putting on the new self, which is created to be full of God's righteousness and holiness." There's an old you that goes an old way, Paul says, and then there's a new you that goes a new way. And then back to Jesus' metaphor, Jesus asks, "Which road are you on? Because you're the driver of your life, it's your choice." Now, he's not saying that the old you is a terrible, no good, very bad loser. And he's not saying you right now need to shame yourself or beat yourself up. Rather, he's just saying that the old way isn't the best way and that you have time and power and opportunity to live according to the new way, which is a narrower way, one that's not distracted and defeated and driven by a broad, wide set of concerns. Worry about this. Be discouraged about that. Fix that mistake. Get credit. Measure up to those expectations. Buy that. Invest here. Protect your egg. Get offended. Go left. Go right. Speed up. Slow down. Change lanes. Change lanes. Change lanes again. No. It's a simpler road to travel. It's more narrow. And you don't have to read 6 books, get a college degree, conjugate the preposition, understand the double helix, memorize the 10 commandments, and sign the statement of faith to experience it. It's simple, and it's simply to follow the way of Jesus. Which, as we'll see, it's not always easy, but it is simple. And today, at the start of this series, I want to highlight 3 mindsets of this narrow way that we are invited to embrace in our actual lives, like you can do this on Monday morning. And I say mindsets because I'm just referencing Paul's description of the narrow way that we just read, calling us to be made new in the attitude of our minds, our mindsets. So here we go, 3 narrow road mindsets. And they all start with the word one, O-N-E, because the narrow way is, well, narrow, it's about one day, one declaration, and one disposition from which everything else flows. First, it's about one day, and that day is today. It's about a mindset that's fully engaged in the present, not troubled by what I've done in the past or worried about who I will become in the future. God, through the prophet Isaiah, says it this way, Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Said another way, if you want to experience what God is doing, then you have to be in the place where God is doing it, which is now, because now it is springing up. Which I hope you see is narrow because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of days in the past, but God is not there. And there is an unknown number of days in the future, but God is not there. There is only one day that can be called now, and that's today. And it's exactly where God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? At which point, let me clarify. It's fine to look back on the game film of your life and say, hey, I don't want to go down that road again. And it's totally healthy and wise to have goals and dreams and to make plans for a better future. But God is doing a new thing in the universe. And now is when it is springing up today. And here's something else rooted in the writing of James Clear, the performance coach for athletes and executives, and his bestseller, Atomic Habits, which you might want to read every year for the rest of your life. He says, if you spend too much time thinking about where you want to be tomorrow, I don't like my job today, I want that one tomorrow. I don't like my body today, I want that one tomorrow. I don't like this relationship today, I want that one tomorrow. It will lead to enormous amounts of discontentment today because future you is always thinner you, smarter you, richer you, happier you, you with stronger faith, more peace, better friends, a better body, more financial security, and improved self-control and willpower. Said another way, future you is always better version of you, who you wish you could be, who you think you should be, but who you are not yet, which is a discontentment trap. Because when you get to the future, you will still be thinking about an even further future you. And what happens is your whole life is a life of chasing a future you that you'll never catch, because the future is always, well, in the future, leading to the trap of always reaching for something out of reach, which is a nightmare for joy and contentment and peace. And into this reality, Jesus comes and he says, just one day, today. And the new you on the narrow road, living in the kingdom of God, is not distracted by the past and the future, but lives today and simply gets curious about what God is up to in this book I'm reading, and in this movie I'm watching, and in this garden I'm tending, and in this request from my child, and in this gym I'm working out in, or this sidewalk I'm walking down. And what is God up to in this conversation I'm having, in this kitchen I'm cooking in this cubicle I'm working in? Because if you trust God that, see, I'm doing a new thing, now it is springing up, do you not perceive it? Then now has to be our focus, which means maybe we carry around a notepad or just use the notes app on our phone and actually write or type what we perceive God to be up to in the moment. Because that's the first mindset that we have to enter into if we want to put on the new self created to be full of God's right and holy living. One day, today. Which leads to the second mindset along the narrow road from which everything else flows. Number two, one declaration. And here it is. You matter to God. Which is a declaration as you move through your day that you say about other people, okay? You go through your day and you just live with the mindset that everyone you see matters deeply to God. Whether the person in front of you is rich or poor, black or white, thick or thin, Democrat or Republican, wise or foolish, introvert or extrovert, religious or not religious, in or out, brave or met, there is only one category. You matter to God. And you know, this simple mindset, TNC, is what scandalized Jesus in the eyes of others, especially religious leaders, above all else. How he would welcome and love, accept, embrace, include anybody who came up to him. In a world where that didn't happen, in a world of borders and armies, guilds and tribes and economic classes and religious cults, it didn't matter. Jews, Gentiles, tax collectors, fishermen, lepers, rich, poor, men, women, children, Romans, Samaritans, Assyrians, political liberals, political conservatives, they could all come to Jesus. And he didn't have some broad, nuanced, careful, politically correct position on a bunch of issues. And he didn't have to figure out whether or not he would invite or welcome and spend time with and engage with you or you, 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 or you. Rather, it was a narrow belief about God, which is in the kingdom of God, everybody is welcome. A conviction, a declaration that ended up being the central feature that the first church was known for, as a kind of place where anybody who wanted to could come and find a family. Paul put it this way, Galatians chapter 3, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And when Paul wrote that, there had never been in the history of the human race a community that had an idea like that, that kind of radical inclusivity, which is why it's always sad to me when I discover that in our day, some Jesus followers are not that way. In fact, this is from firsthand experience over many years. The way some folks try to find a church home is they try to find a church with people who look and think like them about God and about the Bible and about politics. And if someone has a lifestyle that's different from me or that's too different from me, then that's the church I don't want to go to. Yet with Jesus, he spends all kinds of time and all kinds of extended time with people who are so far different from him. Please reread the stories of Jesus and experience this for yourself. Jesus is unbelievably narrow in his categories. He only has one. Everybody is welcome. And not just welcome to come and sit in the back or sit in the balcony, but welcome to come and sit at my table and eat with me. And your kids are welcome to play with my kids and learn alongside my kids. And that was the great difference between Jesus and so many other leaders in his day. His clear declaration and his concrete way of life. Just, you matter to God. And this is the mindset we also must adopt. First mindset on the narrow way, one day today. Second mindset, one declaration. You matter to God. And now the third mindset along the narrow road that we can actually begin to adopt that will help us align our lives with God's vision for our best life. Number three, one disposition. First one day, second one declaration, and now one disposition, one inherent quality of mind and character, one basic self-identity. And here it is, three words, I am enough. I am enough. Which brings me to this. My wife is a huge Taylor Swift fan, loves her music. And there's a song that I've come to really like too. It's called Anti-Hero. And the chorus starts this way. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. And in the song, she's talking to herself. And at one point she says, sometimes I feel like everybody else is a sexy baby and I'm a monster on a hill. And it's exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero. And this is the background track of her mind, and this is the background track for too many people in our day. I'm the problem, it's me. My home isn't clean enough, my job doesn't pay enough, I don't speak confidently enough, I'm the problem in my marriage, with my kids, among my friends, I don't have enough time, energy, self-control, money, talent, and I'm the problem, it's me. I can't juggle everything. I have too much to do, too much I want to do. I disappoint myself. I let down those I care about. And it's just a never-ending self-dialogue where I'm the anti-hero, broken beyond repair. Now, if you really are the problem, recognize it and deal with it and work on it. But the starting place is, instead of assuming you are broken beyond repair, realize that you are not alone and that you can be rooted to a wiser, truer voice than the one telling you you are an anti-hero. And it's the single voice of Jesus who says, John chapter 14, because I live, you also will live, and I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And then a few verses later, chapter 15, verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Listen also to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Our enoughness is from God, because the one who created our world is for us. And he's not just rooting for you. He's in it with you, working with you, battling for you. And he says, it's time for a truer bit of self-talk. Nothing can separate you from my love. And in Christ, you are enough, beloved, valuable, and able to bear much fruit. Because sometimes humans get lost or find ourselves heading the wrong way, entering the wrong kinds of thinking and speaking and living. And into this reality, Jesus comes and teaches quite simply, find the narrow road that leads to life. It's about one day today, one declaration, everybody matters, and one disposition, I am enough. And you do that, and you begin to discover that you are being made new in the attitude of your minds, putting on the new self created to be full of God's righteousness and holiness. Will you pray with me now? God, I pray for every person listening, that they would know the truth, and that the truth would set them free. the truth that you, God, are doing something new in our universe today. The truth that every person they look at matters deeply to you. And the truth that with you, they are enough. God, help us to live this narrow way, one that will bring purpose and peace and energy to our own hearts and minds and schedules, but also a mindset that will bring love, joy, and energy to our families and our friends, our places of work, our communities, and our world. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace. Amen.